In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 27. Psalter number 27, all the stanzas. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, did you know that a believer has the promise of a tremendous inheritance? Young people, just imagine for a moment a super rich relative leaving you an inheritance. It is something that is a dream come true for many people. And yet we know that such an inheritance will not last. You may enjoy it for a while, but once you leave this life, the inheritance passes on to someone else, and it's gone for you. But now, with a believer, one who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is also a promise of an inheritance that is far greater than anything that anyone could ever inherit here on earth. And it's called a heavenly inheritance, an inheritance that will not corrupt, that cannot fade away, that cannot be stolen, that cannot ever be taken away from you. It's an inheritance that you will be able to enjoy forever and ever and ever. And this is the inheritance that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the promise to. And that promise is not something, well, let's see if it will come to pass. It will be sure. It will be sure. And one of the most wonderful things about this sort of spiritual inheritance is that it will cause the heart already in this life to grow fond of the one who has given and promised that inheritance. In other words, that inheritance will grow in you and it will sort of enrich your life already here on this earth. It's not an earthly inheritance, but it's a heavenly inheritance. It is an inheritance that the Apostle Peter once in rapture explained and proclaimed and rejoiced in when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ," that is, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Well now, with this opening, I want to explain to you as well that Ruth as well came to know of this sort of an inheritance, dear people. And what she experienced in the days that she lived upon this earth, she would already experience a foretaste of what the Lord Jesus Christ would hold out for her after this life. And that is something for us to think about this morning as well. And so let's come to this story as it pertains to Ruth and look at it by way of this theme and division. The Lord brings Ruth towards the promised inheritance. In the first place, Naomi instructs towards this inheritance. Ruth submits towards this inheritance. And Boaz pledges towards this inheritance. So the inheritance becomes and looms large for us this hour. Now, congregation, Ruth's return to Naomi after a day's work in the field of Boaz actually brought great excitement to that little household of Ruth and Naomi. Ruth returned loaded with barley and with wheat, and on top of that with some wonderful news about a great man that she had met. And then it was Naomi's turn to speak again. And this time, she spoke in a very positive way. And she could speak about the Lord's blessings again. And as she began to speak about the Lord's blessings, she was able to provide some very cool instructions for Ruth, her daughter-in-law. True, we know from the last number of messages on this book of Ruth that Naomi had come through a very difficult time. She had not been happy about it, and that's understandable as well. At a certain point, she had felt that the Lord had left her altogether. And she complained bitterly about it. Was it right for her to complain about it? Well, I'll let you be the judge of that. But let's not dwell on the weaknesses and on the failures of man too long this hour. Because when it really comes down to it, there's no end to that, is there? Rather, let me try to show you the Lord's faithfulness, even towards people like Naomi and Ruth, as we will see. And though the Lord did not leave Naomi, and He has not left her to wallow in her bitterness, in His covenant mercies, you see, He came alongside of her again. And actually, He had never left her. But she just could not see Him anymore. The Lord, you see, He does not really leave His people in a mess. He doesn't. In His time, He will pick them up again. And in His time, He will show Himself to them as well. In His time, He will walk alongside of them. And if necessary, in His time, He will even carry them as well. Now, so it was with Naomi. As a tried and experienced believer, observing the Lord's blessings and the Lord's return to her, observing the Lord's ways with her, she began to see her task in life again. Oh yes, Naomi had lost her focus for a while, that's true enough. But the Lord restored that focus to her again. And as such, she could then also become profitable in the kingdom of God again. How so? Well, she began to instruct Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And she began to instruct her in the ways of the Lord. Now, anyone who knows the Lord through faith, like Naomi, after some trying experiences, will want to speak about these things. And that's a natural given. Will want to speak about these things. Anyone who has gone through those kind of circumstances will want to speak positively about what the Lord has done and then instruct others as well who are on the road of faith. I dare say this because this is how church members, believing church members, ought to be towards one another. That they will have a desire to instruct others in the ways of the Lord. Is that your desire? And I say this because, you see, this does not need to happen only from pulpits and in catechism classes by ministers of the gospel. This does not need to happen only at house visitation by elders and by deacons. This does not need to happen only at official surroundings by certain qualified people. This can happen also in informal settings of a friendly talk in the church's narthex or in the parking lot later on. This can happen in the intimate, homey settings of family and of households, where fathers and mothers have learned to instruct their children and their friends in the ways of the Lord. Fathers and mothers speaking positively about the Lord and about His service. This is nothing than instructing your children in the ways of the Lord. And you see, speaking positively about the Lord and His service often works best on a one-to-one basis. as the Bible, for instance, mentions it in Paul's letter to Timothy and in Paul's letter to Titus, where the younger men are called to instruct the older men, or vice versa, actually. The older men are called to instruct the younger men, and where the older women are called to instruct the younger women on a one-to-one basis. Well, this is also what you see here with Naomi in regards to Ruth. Naomi also began to instruct Ruth in the ways of the Lord. Now, during that time, those ways of the Lord in Israel were ways that often placed tremendous emphasis on the promised inheritance. On the promised inheritance. As you know, each Israelite had inherited from the Lord a portion of land in Israel on which he could then set his name and his family name on, the names of his children and the generations following. The inheritance would stay with the generation. And for whatever reason, if an Israelite would lose the inherited portion of the land, he would feel spiritually robbed. Any Israelite woman, for instance, not able to receive children, would feel spiritually empty. Because under such conditions, she would see that the promised inheritance would not continue on in her line. Now, this is really how Naomi and Ruth also saw it at the beginning. They had lost the inherited portion of the land, especially as it pertains to Naomi, with no children to follow them. And so you could say that the whole inheritance had sort of slipped away from them. And because of what has happened to them, and that then Naomi in particular, they had become barren and bankrupt. Barren and bankrupt. Now, this is how it is with us as well by nature, dear people. If we are still in a state of unbelief, then we too are barren and bankrupt. But thank God, He does not leave us in that sort of a condition. And how so? Well, you see, He has brought us into the covenant. And in this covenant community, you may hear about an inheritance again. A spiritual inheritance, as you have heard already. An inheritance that is reserved in heaven for those who come to faith in Christ. And so the question is, well, then for who is this inheritance reserved? Well, we see this very clearly in this story about Ruth. As you know, Ruth has come into the land of Israel with her mother-in-law Naomi. She has placed herself under the care of the covenant grace of God in the land of Israel. Now, let's put it in today's terms. She has come to church. She has come to church. And Naomi, as a helpful church member, has begun to instruct Ruth how to obtain the promised inheritance. Naomi has felt it in her heart that she must do everything she can to lead Ruth towards this promised inheritance. And that should be the task of every one of us, shouldn't it be? And so, at a certain point, she said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "My daughter," and you can read of that in verse 1, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" Security. This is what this promised inheritance would give. It would give security to Ruth, but no less security to Naomi as well. Security that would make it well for them, as Naomi has said. Now, isn't this also what you and I need as well, dear people? Security. Spiritual security. Security so that it will be well with you, especially in a spiritual sense. That's what we need too. Isn't this what you want for your fellow church members? Isn't this what you want, parents, for your children, your grandchildren as well? Isn't this what you want for your wife, for your husband, for your father, for your mother? Security, spiritual security. Well then, here in church, dear people, you may expect some instructions on how to obtain this inheritance, either from the preaching of the word, or from your fellow church members later on, or both ways. And so Naomi has begun to instruct Ruth, and it was with some very specific instructions as well. She told Ruth, for instance, that she had to wash herself, that she had to discard her widow's garments, that she had to clothe herself with some fresh and colorful garments. And then she told Ruth that she had to go to the threshing floor where Boaz would be threshing the barley that particular evening. Ruth was then to observe Boaz doing his work while she had to keep herself hidden from his view. Ruth was to wait until Boaz would become tired of his work, had nourished himself with food and with drink, and had laid himself down to sleep. Then Ruth was to sneak up to him very quietly, carefully uncover his feet, and quietly lay herself down at his feet, and simply wait then until Boaz would wake up, and wait until he would say something to her. Now this is exactly what Ruth did. And that is what we must see in the second place, that Ruth submitted herself to the instructions of Naomi. Ruth submitted herself. And there's a key word here. She submitted herself to Naomi's instructions, and that to the very last details. Our text chapter, you see, makes a special point of that, emphasizing this. Verse 5, for instance. And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." Verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And so you see, Ruth obeyed those instructions. And she followed those instructions even to a T. If this is what would lead her towards that promised inheritance, if this is what security will mean for her and security will bring to her through this inheritance, then she would willingly submit to all those instructions that her mother-in-law has given her, no matter how foolish they may seem to her. And I want to stress that as well. And congregation, I hope that you are following it through with me and that you can see what I'm trying to get at also this hour. Because now I need to make an application. The application is as follows. And that is, the gospel declares a tremendous inheritance for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That inheritance has been prepared for us. And it is reserved for us. But now there are some instructions for you and for me to follow. And those instructions come to you and to me from one who desires our security, from one who desires, who wants to see things go well with us, from one who wants us to be spiritually secure. And that is not only the speaker that you can hear this hour, but that is the invisible speaker that is the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants your and my spiritual security. And this hour on behalf of God and by way of the gospel, I too have some instructions for you and for me, so that we may follow those instructions. Now, it might very well appear to you at this moment, at first glance, that those instructions you are going to hear are rather foolish. No matter. This is how God wants it. So let's listen. What are those instructions then? Well, first of all, you and I, we are called to submit to the fact that whatever God is willing to do for you is pure, undeserved favor. That's the first thing. You and I, we do not deserve that God is still so wonderfully good to each one of us. We don't deserve that. We need to recognize that. And therefore, we are to take a humble and submissive approach to the Word of God and to God Himself. Now, it may seem rather foolish to speak about humility and about submission in this day and age of everyone clamoring for their rights. I want this, I want that, this is my right. Submission. Humility. That's what God wants. The Bible says, you see, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Be submissive to one another. And therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's one of the first instructions that we get from the Bible. And then, in all humility, of course, we are to sincerely confess our sin to God and we are to repent of our sins. And again, this seems so foolish to us, doesn't it? Why should you and I, why should we dwell on our sin? Well, the Bible says, confess your sins. Repent of the evil. Turn away from them. And doesn't God say this very pointedly in Ezekiel 33, for instance, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die? This is what God says. He says, turn. And then here's another instruction. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A very strong instruction. It runs throughout all of Scripture, you see. Believe His words. Believe the words that He has spoken very compassionately when He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do. Especially what He came to do in order to save sinners like you and me from the condemnation of sin. Believe in the sacrifice that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, made on that cross. Believe that He made that sacrifice on behalf of people like you and me. Believe that what He suffered, you and I deserve to suffer. Believe that the death He died is the death that you and I deserve. In other words, believe in Him. Or to say it in other words, entrust your whole self. That is, entrust your whole sinful self to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Entrust yourself to His gracious care. Or to say it in terms of what our text chapter speaks of, fall at His feet. Lay at His feet. Lay yourselves down at His feet. And then, true enough, one more instruction. And Ruth received that pertinent instruction from Naomi. Because when you are at His feet, silently wait. Wait. And He will tell you what you should do. Now, may I ask you, are you as willing as Ruth was to do as you have been instructed? If so, there is a promised inheritance for you. But on the other side, but if you are unwilling to follow those instructions, the inheritance will never be yours to enjoy. Just imagine for a moment what would have happened if Ruth had refused to listen to Naomi. If Ruth, for instance, would have said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, oh mother, this is a rather foolish thing to do and it is kind of risky too, isn't it? Then Ruth would undoubtedly have missed out on the promised inheritance. Now, I hope that is not the case, but it could be that there are some here who think that way. Or imagine Ruth having responded to Naomi in this way. Well, mother, you might say all this to me that I have to do this, but there has to be a willingness, there has to be a desire, it has to be given me to do that sort of thing. And also that sort of thing is sometimes heard as well, isn't it? Some here might also want to say, well, I can't be humble, I can't repent, I can't confess, I can't believe just like that. It has to be given me. I can't do that of myself. Dear people, if you think that way or if you talk that way, it could very well be your excuse to do nothing. Such talk is sometimes heard, isn't it? It might have the appearance of truth, but there's a fatal flaw in such talk. It's true. You cannot do anything of yourselves. It is true that the Holy Spirit has to give it all to you to repent and to believe. After all, repentance and faith are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you see, we need to understand that it is through the Word that is preached that the Holy Spirit is pleased to work in you, and that the Holy Spirit is pleased to work the Word in you so that you will want to do what He says you should do. The Holy Spirit asks obedience from you. He asks, no, He does more than that. He commands obedience from you. He commands submission from you. And therefore not doing what He commands you to do is sheer disobedience, is sin, isn't it? And take Ruth's example for a moment again as she responded to the instructions of Naomi. When she says, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went. And then, once you have come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear people, who after all is portrayed here in this person of Boaz, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the greater Boaz, you see, you will also soon get to hear something from Him as well when you put yourself at the feet of Jesus. And true enough, Ruth did get to hear something from Boaz. At midnight, the man was stirred, was startled in fact, discovered that there was a woman lying there at his feet. And he asked her who she was, and she replied, I am Ruth, your maidservant. And then she said this, take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Now, what was Ruth asking for? Very boldly, Ruth asked Boaz to marry her. That's what she did. She asked Boaz to marry her. You see, the request that she made was a very traditional Israel way of a marriage proposal. Now, Ruth was very bold in asking this sort of request. But as she had been instructed by Naomi, as she wanted to obtain that inheritance, she knew that it would require a marriage relationship with Boaz. And therefore Ruth asked Boaz very boldly, Boaz, will you marry me? Now, dear people, again, let's bring it into a spiritual sense. Once you are at the feet of the Lord Jesus, you also may be very bold with Him. This is why the Bible also speaks about coming boldly to the throne of grace so that you will receive what you are asking for. And then you may say to the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps you may even use those same words, Lord Jesus, please be my Savior. Please be my Redeemer. Please be my husband. Please be my spouse, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, spread your cloak of righteousness over me. Cover me with your care and with your protection. And so I ask you also this hour, have you been at the feet of the Lord Jesus in this way already? in humility, but at the same time with great boldness, with nothing less than spiritual marriage in mind, so that you too could enjoy what Christ Jesus is so willing to give you, the promised inheritance. If so, then you may also be assured that the Lord Jesus will not let you down, but He will actually rejoice in your humility combined with your boldness. Boaz, as you can read, certainly did not scold Ruth. He did not turn her away. He did not chase her away. Instead, he praised her and he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter." And then you and I, we must see in the last place yet, Boaz pledged Ruth towards the inheritance. Now, very much could be said about the words and the actions of Boaz that follows. And perhaps it would be good to read that again later on after church. But all those words that Boaz spoke can be summarized by saying that they constituted a promised pledge, or promised pledges, plural. For instance, Boaz promised that Ruth that he would do all in his power to make her his bride. We hope to hear, Lord willing, the following message, how he would accomplish this. But for now, Ruth had this promise and she received this pledge. And as a token of certainty and of surety and of sincerity of Boaz's words, Boaz also gave her a pledge already. How so? Very simple. Ruth could actually return home to Naomi with a shawl full of barley. Now, dear people, this is also how it is with the Lord our God. This is how the Lord Jesus also works. With those who have come to Him, He will give them His word of promise, and alongside of that, He will also give them His pledge. And what is the pledge that the Lord Jesus Christ gives? It's the Holy Spirit. He is the pledge of the promised inheritance. And so you who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you who have learned to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak, in a humble manner, you will also know His word of promise. Because He has said it, hasn't He? You know those words, "I will come again. I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." You see, these are the words of promise that you can live on, that we can feed on, that we can dream about, and that we may know there'll be reality someday. Those are the words, you see, of promise that should revive each and every one of us, that should encourage each and every one of us. Even when it seems that the Lord Jesus Christ is tarrying, that He's letting us wait for so long. Hold on to those promises, you see. He has given your pledge, hasn't He? And it's more than just a shawl full of barley. It's the Holy Spirit Himself who works amongst us and who dwells within us. The Apostle Paul, he speaks of this pledge in such a wonderful way. When you read in Ephesians chapter 1, the verses 13 and 14, with those words I want to close. Speaking there, first of all, of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee," or you could also say the pledge, "of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Towards a promised inheritance. Dear people, it was so for Ruth. And it may be so for you as well. As you've learned to trust in this greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Instructed. Learn to submit. Having received the pledge. Are you with Ruth? Amen.